choir was a while ago. And I tell people all the time on the radio, I said, preaching ain't much, but you ought to come and hear our choir. Amen. So let's all get our Bibles this morning and open to the book of Colossians. If you missed Sunday school, you missed a tremendous lesson about being thankful. And one of the biggest sins of our nation today is not being thankful. A lot of preachers, and I myself, preach on Romans chapter 1 and how that whole generation turned against God and all the wicked sins that Romans chapter 1 talks about. And what a lot of them leave out is the first part of that was it became unthankful. And that led to their demise spiritually. And one of the worst things a person can do is start not appreciating what somebody does for them. And that's a bad sin. If you read your Bible, one of the biggest sins in the Bible was when people murmured and complained and didn't appreciate what God had done for them. Boy, that is us, or what? I want you to look here in Colossians. I believe personally that the book of Colossians is one of the main books of study for the last church, which is the Laodicean church age. Laodicea is mentioned 3 or 4 times in this book. That's not an accident. Only 4 chapters. I would advise, I read the whole book of Colossians this morning in my prayer and study time. And I advise everybody here and encourage you, spend some time in the book of Colossians. I believe the Lord has a special word for the church of Laodicea, which is the 7th church age you and I are living in. And one of the things he mentions in this little epistle here from Paul is being thankful. Look first of all at chapter 1 and verse 12. Chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We should be thankful just that we're a part of the saints, that we're one of them. Amen. You don't get confirmed into this. You don't grow into this. You are born into the family of God. Just like you were born into your physical family, you're born again into your spiritual family. Then let's look at chapter 3. Flip one page there and look at chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. That is a command from God's Word to be thankful. It is wrong to be griping and fussing all the time about what you don't have and how bad off you've got it. And he said, if you're a Christian, be ye thankful. And then look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, if you would, and verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. There's the whole word there. There's the whole word, thanksgiving. As he mentioned in Sunday school, and he's right, thanksgiving is by far the most scriptural holiday we celebrate. There's nowhere in the Bible where it tells us to celebrate the Lord's birth. I'm for it and I love it. But we're not. It's not something we're reminded to do. There's nowhere we're supposed to celebrate every year the resurrection at Easter. I'm for it and I believe we should. But thanksgiving is definitely, definitely in the Bible. Over and over and over and over and over. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. The sin of our nation this morning is not being thankful to God. That leads to all the other sins that destroys society. Oh, Henry Martin was a missionary and a great man, and they said he was an amazing man to be around. Yeah, God's people are the most amazing people in the world. You meet them different places. And Henry Martin, they said he would have everybody in the family or group stand and give thanks before the meal and after the meal. Now, all the way through the Bible, they gave thanks when they were about to eat. They broke bread and gave thanks. They broke bread and gave thanks. One of the first things I learned how to do when I got saved was ask the Lord to bless the food that I eat. I hope you do that. I hope and pray there's nobody in here so big a chicken that you're ashamed to bow your head and thank God that gave it to you while you're at work. You say, well, I'm not going to do that in front of them guys at work. Are you that big of a chicken that God is blessed? Yeah, and I mean, you do one of these eyebrow scratchers, you know, while you're walking with your tray back at work because you're scared that they might think you're thanking God. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Be a man. Man up. Be a lady for God and be thankful for your food. Don't be ashamed to bow your head. Don't be ashamed. You say, well, what if they say something to me? Hallelujah. That's good for you. A little persecution ain't going to hurt you at all. Bow your head and thank God for your food. Ladies and gentlemen, a kid said one time, Daddy said, let's pray and thank God for the food. And the kid said, why are we thanking God from it? It come from the store. And the daddy said, no, honey, you don't understand. And she said, where did this bread come from? And he said, the store. And he said, well, where did the store get it? And he said, the store got it from the bakery. And he said, well, where did the bakery get it? And they said, the bakery got it from the farmer. And he said, where did the farmer get it? They said, the farmer got it from wheat. They said, well, where did the wheat get it? The flour, then the wheat. And then finally, it came down to the seed. And the farmer put the seed in the ground. And they said, well, where'd that come from? They said, God give that. God give you. God gives us every bite that we eat. The Lord gives you every drink of water that you've ever had in a cup. The Lord gives you an appetite to eat it and a stomach to digest it. I'm telling you this morning, we ought to be thankful. Now, I'm just going to say a few things this morning. The Lord put on my heart Thursday, I believe it was, when I was in Texas. And so I'm going to give them to you this morning. And you just bear with me a few minutes as I just bear my heart to you, okay? I'd like to do that this morning. First of all, this morning, I want to be thankful for our family. I wish we'd all be thankful for our family. I know some of you and your family, you fuss and get mad at each other, and families sometimes get mad and won't speak, and this one goes one way and that goes another and all that. But you know, when it comes right down to it, we ought to thank God for our family. My prayer, my family, my immediate family, I'm going to talk about right now, here, my sister's not here today, and then one daughter in Florida. Y'all pray for the backslid down there. And my other immediate family's here this morning. And every morning when I get up, I first thank the Lord. I've been saying every morning when I wake up, good morning, Lord. Because He's right there. He's been waiting on me all night to wake up. And I wake up and say, good morning, Lord. And then I pray and read my Bible. And as I pray, I start naming off my family. And my prayers pull on you. If y'all feel something pulling on you, that's my prayers pulling on you. I pull on you every day with my prayer. If sometimes you want to do something wrong and something says no, or you feel like, boy, I need to read my Bible, I need to get in church more, that's God pulling on you. That's right. So I thank God for it. I begin to think about my family. My sister Debbie, who's way up down in the mountain somewhere this morning, over toward Black Mountain. I thank God for her. I thank God for my sister. She stood by me through thick and thin. Have you ever just thanked God for your brothers and sisters? How good she's been to me? Nobody knows how good she's been to me. I'm telling you, my sister, I thank God for my sister this morning. How many times she's blessed me. Sometimes she sent me some money for my birthday. And I said, now Debbie, I told you not to give me no more money. Oh, she's bought me a washer and dryer. She's bought me something I don't even tell y'all about. And she said, now Danny, I'm not always going to be able to help you, so I want to help you now while I can. And I said, you don't need to do that. And she makes me feel good, and I thank God for my sister. Praise God. And then my girls, you know, and the families. I just thank God for them. I thank God for Carrie and Todd. I don't say a lot about it from the pulpit like this, because I'm afraid if I brag on them too much, they'll think that I think they're right with God and they won't do better. I do thank God for them. Amen. I do. I thank God for them. I'm telling you, I praise God for them. Old Todd will send me a text once in a while, and he'll say, check out this bus. Might need to get it for the church and stuff like that, you know. And Carrie's always been, if them two over there would admit it, sometimes it feels like Carrie raised us all. She was our mama. She was at Daddy. Do this and Daddy. You know that she'd call me. I'd be out when they was little. I'd be off preaching somewhere, and before phones come out, it was rough. But then I finally got a phone back in the late 90s, I guess it was. She called, Daddy, where are you? How much longer is it going to be here? One of them sick. One of them, and I said, oh, they're just acting like they're sick. They're all right. Give them something cold to drink. Put them in the bed. There ain't no excuse. They're going to school tomorrow. They're sick. I don't care. Going to school tomorrow. We went through that night after night after night. And sometimes when she would get sick, I've always done this to them, and I do it to everybody. When one of them would get real bad sick, she'd say, this would say, I said, she did. She'd say, this is wrong, that's wrong. And I'd always say, you been doing something you ain't supposed to? And she'd say, no. I said, all right, that's first thing you ask yourself when you start getting sick, am I doing something I shouldn't be doing? Are you listening? Now, I know all preachers disagree with that nowadays. I know these bad preachers get on TV and say, oh, God would never... but if anybody's that dumb about the Bible, I wouldn't even take time to argue with them about it. All the way through the Bible, sometimes sin results in sickness. Not all the time. Sometimes the best person in the world will be sick. Best saints of God that's ever lived have been sick. And just because a person's sick don't mean they've done something wrong. Did you hear me? Okay. But other times... sickness is a direct result of sin. It's all through the Bible. It's all through the Old Testament. If you don't know that and don't spend no more time than that reading your Bible, there's no hope for you ever understand it. Jesus told a man one time to heal him, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Paul said to the Corinthians, for this cause many are sick. And so if you don't know the Bible no better than that, you don't have an intelligent input on the subject. So just hush and listen to somebody read. I'm going to tell you this morning, and I always tell them, say, you've been doing something wrong? I said, no. And then, it never failed, I'd get sick. And Carrie called and said, you doing something wrong? And I said, I searched my heart. And I thought, Lord have mercy, that's exactly right. But she'd always do that. She'd always throw it back at you. Keep you on the toes. Thank God for them. Amen. What a blessing for her. What a blessing. And I'll say, but for Kelly, my wife, you know what I've noticed about her last few months? She's back doing junior church this morning, I reckon back there somewhere, getting run over by kids. And you know, several of you in here this morning have come to me and said, Brother Danny, I notice all the stuff she does around here. I notice she's a doing this, she's a doing that, she's a doing that, she's a doing printing, she's a doing that. She's determined to make our church better. And I thank God for that. I thank God she prays for me. I got texts about every evening. I couldn't use the phone. I was out of service. I get texts about every day. I'm praying for you tonight. I'm praying for you tonight. That means a lot to me. You men, if you've got a wife that'll be good and pray for you, you ought to thank God for her every day of your life. Say amen right there. Now, you ladies, if you've got a husband that'll get up and go to church on Sunday morning, you ought to thank God for your husband. He ain't perfect, but listen, if you had David Beckham, he wouldn't look at you twice before he run off and left you. You don't need some pervert like that. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to just thank God for your family. Say amen right there. Carissa, she's one of those people that's multi-talented. I thank God for her and Jeremy. Oh, I left out Carrie's kids before I moved on to her. Dax, I'm praying for him. He's racing on a motorcycle race in Florida this week. They have a big one down there. And I'm praying God will get a hold of him and call him to preach. I told her, I said, I'm going to need somebody to help me out about 30 years. And she said, all right, Daddy. And I'm praying the Lord come. But I want the Lord to do it. Not me. Not her. I want the Lord to do it. Lord don't do it. It ain't no good. Ain't that right? And buddy, I thank God for Kerrigan and Aniston. They're all special. They all got that something special about it. And you can say the same thing for your kids. They're all different, but they're all special. Somebody said, once you have a kid, how can you love that next kid as much? I don't know how, but you do, don't you? They're all different, and you love them all. God gives you enough love in your heart to love them all. I thank God for her and Jeremy. They're faithful as a clock ticking. Chris is a smart one in the family, and she's smarter than all of us. She turned out to be a great cook. You would not believe how she can cook. I mean, the best cheesecake I've ever eaten in my life. She says, I'm not lying. I'm telling you other stuff like that. I ain't got time to get into all that. But thank God. When she was little, she's the one that used to get me. When I'd be gone somewhere, she's about 4 years old, and I'd come in the house, and she'd say, Daddy, I've been looking for you. And I'd say to the other two, hey, how y'all doing? And I'd say, what do you want? Yeah. They said, no, you're petting her. And I said, well, she's the only one looking for me. That's the best way. That's the best way to get God to do something. Say, Lord, I've been looking for you. Lord, I've been looking for you. I'm telling you, the Lord likes to look down here and see us looking for Him once in a while. Say amen right there. Amen. That's simple gospel preaching. You don't need to know some deep truth you ain't never heard before. You ought to start living by the ABCs you already know. Then Corey and Wesley. Little Gagey sitting over there. He's going to be a smart one too. He's smart as a whip. And I thank God for them. All three of my son-in-laws will work every day. And I praise God for it. You know, if a man will work, he'll stay out of trouble most of the time. If a person will work regular, they won't get in a whole lot of trouble. And if we're smart, they won't get in none. They got any sense. But you know what? I'm going to tell you, brother, Corey. Corey's always the one that was a philosopher. And she is a deep thinker. And a fighter too. You'd be surprised, of all the three, when somebody really says something to me, she's one of the ones that wants to beat them up. Didn't y'all cuss somebody out one time at call? One of you did. Who was it? Which one? It was her. You're not supposed to cuss nobody out. Some woman called the house one time, hey, Danny Castle, I've hit him, blankety blank, blank, blank. And boy, she let him have it. I said, don't do that, honey. And she said, well, Daddy, they know. One time, Terry was in the doctor's office in Marion, and these old, you've heard me tell, these old women sitting around there, and they was all talking about Danny Castle, this, that, Danny Castle, blankety blank. They was talking bad about me. She said, I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there. She said, I couldn't take it no more, and finally leaned over and said, I'm his daughter. And she said, they changed immediately. A miracle happened. They said, really? Well, we've been thinking about coming and visiting y'all sometimes. Yeah, the world's full of big people like that, you know. Expert on everything, ain't fit to shoot, and don't never do a hit a lick for God. But anyway, she does that. She always, I'm telling you, they stood and they stood and they stood and they stood and they stood, and I thank God for my family. Thank God for y'all. If you feel something pulling on you, that's me praying for you. Me praying for you. I've got to hurry. I thank God for my country. I thank God for my country. Buddy, we are living in a time, are you listening to me? We're living in a time, ladies and gentlemen, when there is an all-out attack on our loyalty, our patriotism. Our college students are being taught to hate America and to disrespect our flag, and they're trying to take every mention of God out of our history books, out of our libraries, out of our thinking to our kids. Let me tell you something this morning. This nation was. It was. You can go back and read the quote founded by people who believe the book. I'm not saying they're all saved, but they've honored the principle of God's Word and built this nation as one nation under God. I'm telling you, it breaks my heart to see our country infiltrated with people that hate us and people that hate America and the military being mocked and the police being made. Listen, if you come to America today and turned on, went to an average college campus, the police are the villains. The military are the enemy, and the crazy, idiot, drug pushers and terrorists are the cool people that we should, quote, understand. I'm telling you this morning, thank God for America. It's not perfect. Thank God for our military. You know, the only reason I can stand here and preach this morning is because God's grace and the Constitution and that flag give me the right to do what the Lord for the United States of America. Thank God for our Constitution. Thank God. Brother, I believe this morning the Constitution was written by men. By men. It was based on biblical principles. It protects our religious freedom. Our veterans, our policemen, thank God for them. Be thankful for your country this morning. When some kids had a paper at school and it had a little sign on their desk that said, in the event of atomic attack, all rules against praying in this school are indefinitely suspended. Yeah, you better believe it, brother. You better believe it. Here years ago, there was a little group in Scrooby, England. They prepared to come to their new home here and settle here in this country where they might, quote, preach and preserve their culture and raise their children. From Leyden, Holland, they boarded the little ship 60-ton Speedwell. They knew they were pilgrims. You know what they took? They took a printing press, 200 books, and a Bible. And I ain't going to tell you which one it was. You know which one it was. This one right here. For the school books of the children. The Word of God was the kids' class, a school book in class. The Speedwell and the Mayflower sailed August the 5th, 1620. After 300 miles, the Speedwell was in too bad a shape. It was declared unseaworthy and had to turn around and go back. Her passengers would have to go aboard the Mayflower. 20 immediately dropped out. But on September the 6th, 1620, 9 years after God put out the English Bible to go to the ends of the world, 9 years later, they got on the Mayflower, September the 6th, and sailed with 102 passengers. They had already been gone 7 weeks and had 8 more weeks to go. They were eating the food supply. They couldn't go back. It was too far. They had sold their land and their houses. Some of the sailors that wasn't saved laughed at the Christians on the Mayflower and were suddenly taken with a strange fever and died in a few hours. They throwed their bodies overboard and nobody else mocked the Christians during the whole voyage and sailing. One passenger came out during a storm and was hurled into the Atlantic. He caught a hold of the rope and they saved him and miraculously pulled him back in. Finally, on November the 9th, at 7 o'clock in the morning, a shout from the crow's nest, "Land ho!" And somebody said, "There's land." They shouted, they cried, they fell to their knees and began to thank God. Elder Brewster suggested a song of praise, and the words were Psalm 100, rang out from the main deck. Make a joyful noise of the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Thanksgiving, 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 thanksgiving. On and on and on. They would soon be in their new home. Their Scrooby Church Covenant would become the model for the Mayflower Compact. They knelt down on the shores and thanked God for what He had done for them. Of Cape Cod there. Imagine, there was no houses. There was no nothing but wilderness. It was winter here. The ocean was behind them. Can you imagine landing on Plymouth Rock over there somewhere and nothing but woods? You wouldn't even know where you was at. And you know what? They found miraculously this great big cleared out area as if a divine hand had cleared it up. They found out that a hostile tribe of Indians used to live there that hated white men. And they found out that they said a mysterious plague had wiped them out. And it was almost like a big hand had got that land ready for them. They found the land already cleared. It was an amazing. And the other tribes wouldn't go there because they said the Great Spirit killed them other Indians. Think about that. And brother, they believed and they had preaching and praying and they preached, quote, powerfully and profitably the word of a King James Bible. They met Samoset, who was an Indian that could speak English. And then on October 1621, the governor declared a public day of thanksgiving. They had turnip greens and cabbages and carrot and fresh deer meat and Wild Turkey. And brother, our nation was born. And brother, now our nation this morning is being hijacked by a bunch of wicked, atheistic, godless rebels who hate God and hate everything this Bible stands for. I'm telling you tonight, or this morning, we may not have this chance much longer, but I thank God for my country. Have you thought about living in a country where you can't worship God? Yesterday morning, I was at the airport. And, you know, you have to go through security now, and it's awful. You have to take off everything. You have to take your belt off, your shoes off, everything out of your pockets, put them in these little trays, and they slide them under there and scan them. Well, mind you, sometimes mine gets stopped because I've got that video projector in there, and they say, place all laptops and computers out in a bin by themselves. Sometimes they'll let it slide, sometimes they won't. And I said, you didn't say video projector. It's not a computer. And but that thing was in there, and they stopped my luggage. And people kept going. And they said, excuse me, sir, we're going to have to search the bag. I said, okay, that's fine. And I hate it when they do it because they just pull everything out. They don't put it back in there right, you know. And I had papers and books and tracks and everything in there. Well, they pulled it out and put it back. And the guy said, I said, we're going to have to pat you down. I said, okay, I don't like it, but I got to do it. Get on there. That's what I do. I don't know why they did that. But each guy, he took me over here like this, and I kept looking over there, looking at my little suitcase and my Bible. I take that big Bible right there. I'll never put that in the suitcase. That thing's on me wherever I go. There's no way in the world I could ever replace the notes that's in that Bible. 30 years worth of stuff. And that thing goes, I mean, it's irreplaceable. Money couldn't buy that Bible right there. And, I kept looking over there at it, because you never know, the devil would like to just get it right there. And so this guy, I don't know if you've ever been patted down to the airport, but I'm telling you, he said, we're going to do you what? He starts sticking his hands down the waist of my pants. I said, okay, buddy. I wasn't wanting to go home. I mean, he said, now we're going to do the round your back. Around the back of your waist. Now around the front of your waist. And he does like this. He said, now down both. I said, I'm going to hit him in my knee. Right in his mouth. I mean, it's awful. Y'all, it's awful. And I said, okay. And then I looked around and they took my Bible. They took my big Bible, this one right here. And they said, something in here. I said, well, they might be a CD or something in there. I said, I don't know. And they started swabbing it with this stuff. And I said, one said something to the other. And he took my Bible over there and I was watching it. And all of a sudden it hit me. I thought, do you realize there's millions of people in this world that are not allowed to have that right there? And I thought, what would I do if they took my Bible? What would I do? I know for some of you, it wouldn't bother you much at all. Just might as well admit it. You don't touch it from one Sunday to the next anyway. But I'm telling you, I live in that thing right there. That's my hope! And I said, don't take my Bible! Don't take my Bible! And I thought, what if I went through one of them things like Corrie Ten Boom, where they took my Bible! You'd appreciate it then. You'd want it then. You'd pray about it then. Now, you know what's wrong with you now? You're unthankful. Listen, people. I ain't got time to get the rest of my sermon. They put me in a place this week. I mean, I was 3 hours from 200 miles from Dallas. You kept going out in the country and out in the country and out in the country and out in the country. And, you know, they talk about you can buy 100 acres of land in Texas. I know why. Lord, it looks like the moon. And you're out there like this. And we went out in the big old pine trees. And the preacher said, Do you mind staying in a little cabin? I said, no, that's fine with me. Wherever you want to put me, that's fine. So he took me out there. I stayed in a cabin. It was 12 by 25. Not as big from here to that thing right there. Bed, kitchen, microwave, little tiny bathroom. That's it. No TV, no radio, no internet, phone wouldn't work all week. I said, woo! Glory to God! I don't have to take all them phone calls from griping church members that are mad about something. You know what? You know what I've done? I got in there and I read my Bible and I read it and I read it and I read it and I prayed and I prayed, and I took my little CD player and I listened to about 4 or 5 sermons every day. I went to sleep listening to preaching, and I got didn't get out twice. Preacher took me 8 Thursday and Friday. But then, you know what? Some of you people would die if you had to do that. You would die! Right, no TV, no internet, none. No, you can't call nobody. I could get a text, barely. I had to drive out the road to call Kelly, and Terry tried to call, other people tried to call. I'd drive out the other. I said, woo, hallelujah. Wonderful. Some of you people, if you had to go, I don't know what you're going to do in heaven. You ain't going to have no Wi-Fi, no internet. You ain't going to get on those books, nothing. You better do it here, because you ain't going to do it in heaven. It wouldn't be heaven if they had that mess up there. Lord, look at you. You're sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, I would die. I would die. I would die. It'd be good for you. It'd be good for you. You'd live like the other 90% of the world 1 week. Y'all liked it a while ago. I'm just telling you, we ought to thank God for our Bible. You said, if I didn't have Wi-Fi, what are you going to do in heaven? I'm in heaven now, Lord. Can you tell me where I can get on Wi-Fi? The Lord said, we ain't got Wi-Fi here. I got better sense than that. But Lord, how do I get on those books? Did Sean and Madonna get back together? How about Lamar? Is he all right? Did what's her name? Did Bruce, is he a man or a woman? Did he go back? Or did, well, the Lord said, you want to know all that stuff, go down there to the other place. That's where they're all at. Amen, Brother Danny. That's right. Preach it, preacher. I'm telling you, we ought to be thankful for what God's done for us. I'm telling you, some of y'all would have a heart attack if you went to heaven and you can't get on Wi-Fi. You'd die. You'd die. I'm telling you tonight, this morning, you better thank the Lord for it. You better thank the Lord for His goodness and His grace. Amen. I'm glad and I'm thankful for my Bible, my country, my church, my church. Our church ain't perfect. You know how I know we got a real church? Oh, we got some characters in here, man. Have you noticed? Has anybody noticed we have characters in here? Everybody in this church ain't alike. It ain't supposed to be. We ain't gonna all be, you know, it ain't supposed to be like it. Buddy, we have a variety. It wouldn't hurt us a bit to have a little more of the other normal kind. But thank God for our church. Thank God for our church. I didn't know if Hillary moved up in the polls this week. I didn't know. Still don't. What happened to Donnie Trump, or Benny Carson? I didn't know. Still don't. I said, if a world blows up, somebody will tell me. Last I heard, somebody hit Paris. That was when we was in Gatlinburg Saturday before last. You know what? Some of you people will do it Thanksgiving. Instead of thanking God, you'll fuss over the remote control over which football game you're going to watch. That's what's wrong with this country, right there. I'm not against watching football. I'll watch it. I don't care. But I'm just saying, buddy, we better thank God, because that's where it all come from. Lord, I've seen people hitting each other and everything else, and I said that. The Lord must want me to say that. They said one time, this king had this big gathering of his royal subjects. And this king had all his royal subjects in there to eat like they did every week. And about that time, this old thug, guy-looking guy come in there, looked like a homeless person. Nasty, stink, old scruffy guy come in, you know. Come walking in there and sit down at the table and just eat a big old plate of food like that. Got up, turned around, walked out. People said, who is that? He just come in here and eat our food and never even said, thank you, I appreciate it, nothing. And the king said, I had that man come do that. They said, why? And he said, to show y'all how you do every week. You come in here, don't pray, don't ask God to bless it, to show you how unthankful y'all are to me. And that's the way we are to God sometimes. He's been so good to you. The least you can do is live for Him. I'm going to read your Bible every day, be faithful to church, get pay your help, your financial support to the church, do what God... That's the least you can do. The least you can do. But like nations, it's gone down before us. The more He blesses us, the meaner we get. So my message to you this morning is be thankful. Let's be thankful. We're going to lose what we got if we don't start thanking God and being appreciative for what He's done for us. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.